Father, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your breath. Thank you for the breath of life, Lord Father. Today we invite you, the good God, the good shepherd, the one that knows all things, into this place, Lord. As we share your word, we pray for impartation and insemination, Father, that they will know the true and living God, and they will run the race as you're called to run, Lord Father. So I pray a blessing upon the word, a blessing upon the people, a blessing to the sound of my voice that comes from the authority of heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Bible verse. This morning, I was given this topic. How do I protect myself from the adversary? 1 Peter 5:8. So that was the topic given to me. So the title that was given to me to explore was, be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So the key thing that I'm going to explore is, be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The reality is, when we think about the Bible, we talk about grace, love, joy, peace, but we don't explore the schemes of the roaring lion. So to start with, if you look at Peter, Peter was an apostle. Okay, and Peter means rock. He was an apostle, and his original name was Simon. He followed Jesus over the 3 years. He observed, he watched, he saw how Jesus modeled his life. And when he saw that, he was so convinced, so he is now writing a letter to a group of people in Asia Minor, which we call Turkey. And when he writes this letter, he's giving them the new framework. They are used to their old ways of doing stuff, and they are under persecution. But today he's writing this letter and he's saying, if you start with chapter 1, he's telling them that now you have got heavenly inheritance. To a degree, I will say, we, especially me, born again at the age of 19, coming from a Hindu background, I didn't understand the concept of heavenly inheritance. So he talks the same way. He says, know your heavenly inheritance. And he says, your former ways have passed away. A new thing, a new ways you're going to do. So when I received the Lord at the age of 19, I said the salvation prayer. I did not understand the depth of it. But I knew I need to follow a new way. What is the new way and how you do the new way? We don't have conferences and all that. The new way is this way. So this was the manual I look at. In chapter 2, he talks about, you are a chosen people. So when I accepted the Lord, I heard the pastor say, you are chosen, handpicked by God. And I took that very seriously. Because in Hinduism, you are not chosen by God. You fall into the religion. You follow the religion. Chapter 3, he talks about lay aside. He talks about character building. So Peter is telling, Apostle Peter is writing that, Lay aside the characters that is not going to be fruitful in your life. So you talk about hypocrisy, malice, guile. He talks about that. He talks also to husbands and wives, how you should behave. In chapter 4, he talks about the suffering for God's glory. Primarily, they were under persecution. To a degree, if you look at it today, we are under persecution. For what we believe, what we honor, is we are being persecuted. So chapter 5, he talks about the responsibilities of elders. When you talk about elders, you talk about mature in the Lord. Most of us sitting here had been with the Lord for a time frame. For me, 30 years. Some of you shorter, some of you longer. But the reality is, he talks about two elements in chapter 5. He talks about the responsibilities of the elders to look after the flock, which is very key. It's like a mom and dad looking after the children. We'll never let our children go astray. We'll take all effort to keep our children intact. And then, interesting enough, he talks about being vigilant to the enemy. Here, the enemy here, he puts this, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. If now I would rent this lion from the zoo, and I put that lion sitting there, how you think your reaction would be? You all won't be looking at me. You are afraid the lion will run out and catch any one of you. That includes me. Right? So that would be your posture. Okay? So what he does is he starts with the first line. He says, he used the man. Okay, let me go back. He talks about lion. Why lion? If you look at the lion, he's always looking for a prey. He's looking for a prey. And who are the prey here he's talking about? He's talking about us. The lion is looking for a prey. And who he becomes, he's saying, okay, this one can be my prey. So in this case, he uses the word lion because in the night, the lion is looking who I can devour. And when the lion attacks you, he doesn't straight away attack you. He bites you, he tears you. The same way, if you are not wise and do not use the presence of the Holy Spirit to guide you, you will be torn. So that's the reason why he's using the metaphor here, the lion. And if you remember the movie Passion of Christ, constantly you'll see a figure of Satan following Jesus. He keeps following him. Why? Because Satan is observing, in this case, the lion observing the movement of Jesus. That's the reason why Satan thinks he's got the authority. Even 40 days of fasting, he tried to tempt Jesus. Full of the Spirit, fasting, prayer, full of the Spirit, away from food, but yet, you look at it, the Satan still make that, he thinks he has the authority to tempt the highest, the king of Judah. What more we the children? So that's why, if you look at it, the whole idea of the devil, it is a reality. But more least spoken, least and is ignored. But we can't deny that it is a reality. That's the reason why when we look at the Bible in Genesis 3:1, okay, the serpent is so crafty. It started that. The ancient serpent, the ancient devil is the serpent. And what the serpent said to him was, you shall not eat of every, I repeat from here. Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? So intelligent. He doesn't bite you. He puts a thought into your mind. Do you think that God didn't say you should do that? Or God say you shouldn't do that? So he puts a thought. Then if you look at another part of the scripture, Ephesians 6:11-12, put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, the rulers of darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So when you think about putting on the armor of God, if you think about the war, in the war, ancient days, they put on the breastplate. The question I'm asking is, the enemy, the lion, is walking here. And if it's walking around, would you want to put on your breastplate? So God is saying for us to put on our spiritual breastplate. What is your spiritual breastplate today are you putting on? Are you aware of the importance of the spiritual breastplate that we have to put on to protect ourselves from the schemes of the enemy? So moving forward, okay, and then he starts off and saying, be sober. So when I think of the word be sober, When we look at sober, what comes to your mind? Primarily, normally we see somebody who have been into alcohol or drugs, yeah? And then they are now in a better state, now they are sober. In my line of work, I come in contact with a number of people with diseases. Some, it's a diagnosis that comes about not because of any of their wrongdoing, but some, it's a diagnosis that comes about because of their wrongdoing. Primarily, when I think about sober, I'm thinking about alcohol. And when I think about alcohol, the effects of alcohol on the body. Sadly, over the years, I've been in nursing for 30 over years. One of my role is, currently my role is teaching students, nursing students. And I find there's an increasing amount of alcohol-related dementia at present. I am seeing people in their early 30s, early 40s, abusing alcohol and drugs, are either ending up in stroke or in dementia. So I realized that, you know, if you are not wise, if you are not sober, that means what? You lose your sound judgment. Primarily, I find that when you look at an alcoholic, when I observe the behaviors of an alcoholic, their speech is not clear. Okay? So if you are not have a sound judgment, we are not sober, the choices of words will not be anointed by the Lord. Number two is, when you look at alcoholics, you don't see them walk straight. They are always walking this way, alright? They are walking this way, they are laughing, they are giggling, which makes no sense. Okay? But the Bible talks about taking the straight path. Do not look at left and right. When you're alcoholic, you're walking left and right, you're turning around, you're laughing, you're falling. So that's why he said, be sober. Another thing is, so that means the choices that you make has to be the narrow and the straight path. The other thing is, when you're alcoholic, you not just damage your liver, you damage every part of your body. Every organ is being damaged. Okay, the brains. Why? Especially the brains. Because why? If you look at it pathophysiologically, the vitamin B is being depleted. Whatever you eat, it cannot enter the brain cells. And when you do that, what happens is then your brain starts shrinking. And when your brain starts shrinking, what happens is then you become you have dementia, alcohol-related dementia. So the same way, when we think about it, that's why he's referring to our conduct to be sober. That means he's saying to us is, you know, for us to be aware of the enemy scheme. Okay? When we think of it, I look at it, he said, you know, we talked about sober. So he said what in Ephesians 5:12? He talks about that, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are drunk with wine, then you're taking the earthly wine. The earthly wine is going to mess you up. I've already described that. But the heavenly wine that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit, the oil that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit, is going to refine you. It's going to be a catalyst. So that's why, to a degree, we need to take heart and start praying like never before for the young ones. We are losing too many young ones. I've seen too many people, young ones, my son's age, Luke is there, 28 years old or 27 years old with stroke. How do you explain that? So that's the reason why we as mature in the Lord need to pray. And the thing is, the father of lies is so cunning, he's able to just persuade these people to get into this thing. So, for example, what is the father of lies? When I remember, when I was, before I became a Christian, as a Hindu, we used to see astrologer. So my parents travel all the way to India to get to know what will my life be, and all the children seeing an astrologer, like a prophecy. And he came back with this word. He said that last life, because Hinduism is about reincarnation, he said in the last life, he said, you were not very good person. Not a very good person. So this life that you are living now, you will be okay. You will live a mediocre life. Because the last life, you were a milkman's daughter. Somebody approached you to give for milk. Because they didn't have the money, you did not give. So you are cursed for this life. So really, if you look at 14, when you hear that, it's not very encouraging. Yeah, but having said that, that's why at 19, when we became a born again, I was at Billy Graham's rally. And he said, because he leaves, I can face tomorrow. Because he leaves, all fear is gone. And that, I could not conceptualize the whole thought. Because at 14, I was told I will have a mediocre life. So when I got that, when I was looking at the people, they were happy seeing the rally. This is in Singapore. So that really captured my heart. So the same way, as I born again, I recognize the father of lies. But sadly, sometimes the father of lies is still activated because Christians are not aware. So that's why, for that reason, we need to be always sober so that we have able to use a sound judgment. When we do not use sound judgment, how do you get the sound judgment? Waiting on God. Not praying for the not just praying, but waiting on God. Because sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is no, sometimes the answer is wait. Some of my prophecies that have been prophesied over me came only after 20 years. How did I do life in the 20 years? I just carry on life. Yeah? So that's one. The other one I'm going to talk about is the other one. He said, be vigilant. Be vigilant means he's talking about be alert and be watchful. So now, if there was really a lion sitting here, of course you all will be watchful. Yeah, you'll be watching me and you'll be watching me and watching there. Okay, but the reality is we walk this Christian journey being alert and being watchful is because we want to conform for the ways of God. A ways of God is may not be our own ways because we are human beings living on this earth. We're used to a certain culture, certain practices, things we have observed. We call that experiential learning, but the reality may not be what God wants. So to be vigilant, one good example I would think is, I think about Esther. Esther was called into the king's palace. She had to hide her identity, compete with thousands of women to get the appointment. So when she got into the king's palace, you find that Esther, when she got in, she took on her role. But the important part I want to say is she was vigilant because from a distance she saw Mordecai. And she saw Mordecai wearing a sackcloth. She saw him wearing a sackcloth. She saw him wailing and crying. The question is, as Australians living in this nation, are we vigilant? Are we seeing what God is speaking to us in the climate? Sometimes we can be so captured with the things of our own, our job, our career, our family, our church, and miss out what God is speaking to Australia. So in this case, she recognized it. So what happened? She didn't run away. So she got the people to give him clothes to change, but he did not. So what motivated her? Then he says, such a time as this. Reality is we are living in such a time as this. This is a time where our spirit need to be awakened. Our spirit need to be awakened. Not just our eyes. Because the eyes is seeing. The spirit hears. The hears. The spirit calls out for God and God alone to intervene. And what is our role in this? So that's what she said. That's the reason why, if you look at it, she said, go gather, if you look at Esther 4:16, she said, go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, hold a fast. She was not quick to react. She said she recognized the problem. She went into fasting. She not just went alone. She grabbed a team to fast together night and day. And she said, then we'll go to the king, though it is against the law. If I perish, I perish. That is what vigilance should be. When we are alert in the spirit, we were birthed in the spirit. It is time for the church to wake up, to be birthed, to do the birthing in the spirit. When you birth in the spirit, God is collaborating with you. When you birth in the norm, you will have to bring up the child. But when you birth in the spirit, the heavenly host will actually work together with you, will collaborate with you. So in this case, coming back, that's why we need to be wearing the breastplate like a military soldier to be alert and watchful. So if something new crops up, or even a friend, or even a work problem, or any environment, step back. Don't be quick to use your experiential knowledge, your culture, to determine the answer. Take it into prayer and wait on God. And when you wait on God, many times I wait on God, and God honors that. There are moments in my life where I've sat for interviews. I'm sitting there waiting for an interview, and then one of the girls that comes out after the interview, I see from a distance, one of the ones who's interviewing from the board gives her a hug. And so I knew she already got the job. I'm just going for the interview for the fun. But why? Because I'm vigilant in the spirit, the Lord shows me things. Shows me things. He prepares me for the assignment. Okay? So moving forward, he talks about... So the next part is, so how we protect ourselves from the adversary? How we protect ourselves from the adversary? Primarily, when we think about protecting ourselves from the adversary, we need to be in tune with the presence of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit, it is now, is the one that will, is our protector, our guider. We need to know the Word of God. The Word of God, fasting, prayer. Constantly in the Bible, there was a culture of fasting. Daniel did the fasting. Esther fasted. Many people in the Bible do fasting. And fasting can be a meal, can be 3 days, can be water fast. It's your choice. So especially, I feel like if you want to discern what's happening, or you want to be vigilant, fasting and prayer has to work hand in hand. Not forgetting the Word of God. Because there's so much power in the Word of God. One thing I know, when I became a born again, the pastor was very clear. 3 things. Regular prayer time, read the manual, the Word of God, and join a cell group. My Christian growth was based on these 3 things. It was not based on anything else but these 3 things. And I'm glad it built such a strong foundation, because that foundation was not built on anything but that. So what happened is, because I practiced that, the way of God, the thoughts of God, you honor the ways and the thoughts of God, so you know when to step back, when to move in, and when not to get involved. So I never take on an assignment that comes from the Lord without from the Lord. And every assignment where I'm placed, I know I have been called by God. And I have been successful because he is collaborating with me. I just step in. One example is, before we went to Jakarta, the Lord showed me, many people say which church we should go. Because we're coming from Singapore, because this was prophesied over us, we'll go to Jakarta. But interesting enough is, before I came to Perth to do my bachelor's in nursing, because in Singapore those days didn't have the bachelor program. So we were hospital-based training. So I was already a registered nurse and a midwife. So when I came, before coming to Perth, the missionary, a wonderful missionary, he prophesied over me, you are going to be a professional missionary for me, and you will go to three nations. He mentioned three nations. One was Indonesia. He mentioned India, and the last one he mentioned was Pakistan. But in my mind, it didn't make sense because I wasn't wanting anything. I wasn't interested in anything, you know. So I said, no, next month I'm going to Perth to study. But the reality is, you see, God has a plan. So when he has a plan, because you're always reading the word and prayer, you're trusting what God has for you. Did it bother me? Not really. Was that working out a plan to know more about India, Indonesia, Pakistan? Not really. I was just doing life. So I was more worried about finishing assignment because I haven't been studying for a long time. How do I be? I'm a mom. I've got two young children. The boys were here with Andrew. So, you know, so I was more worried. How am I going to write that 2,000 word assignment? That was the big thing. But nevertheless, before I left, he gave me seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the things will be added unto you. So I rest on that living word. And because I rest on the living, as much as I struggle, I completed the course. And that also helped me to be a skilled migrant and to get my registration with the board to go. In fact, even my registration was a surprise. On the eve, before even I finished my degree, on the eve of my departure, the nurses board in Australia called me and said, can you come for an interview? When I walked in, all they did was she interviewed me for 5 minutes. She don't know much about Singapore. She only talked about the ring that she bought in Singapore. So I was thinking there's more to Singapore than this fancy ring. But nevertheless, she interviewed me and I got the registration. I got the registration before even I got the credentials. And that is our God. Because when you honor him, you take the narrow path. What happens is you will get the appointment before your credentials. The world looks at your appointment. But God looks at your heart. He looks at the hunger and thirst you have for the righteousness of the kingdom. So primarily, coming back there, so I say fasting, prayer, and the word. So if you look at it, I think a good example, which me and Michelle, my good friend, we used to catch up, and we still do, but when we, early days when we catch up, we used to explore the Bible on the book of Daniel. She'll read one chapter and I'll read chapter one. And then we'll take, at the coffee place, we are not worried. We are sitting at the cafe. We open up our Bible. We have a nice flat. I like my coffee extra hot. She likes her coffee extra hot. So that makes us a good team to start with. But nevertheless, we explore what Daniel did. And the first thing about Daniel that excited me was, if we talk about fasting and prayer and word, was he was not affected by the culture. Why? There was lots of food. There was a lot of wine. He's now walked in. He's a teenager. He's now walked in into the king's palace. He's exiled to Babylon. Everybody had the culture of eating and drinking so that they look good. But he said no. So if you look at it, if you know, when you fast and pray and read the word, you will say no to something where the culture say yes. So first thing you can see, a man or a woman that follows the heart of God is not stuck by culture. Because the mind is transformed from the voice of God. So he said, first thing he did, it's more than he did was he said, no, I'm not going to be eating those things. I'll be alright. He wasn't rude. He'll be alright. I mean, if I paraphrase that. So what happened is God honored that. So the lion is looking, will he fall into the trap? But no, he did not. So the lion is always watching for someone to pounce on, but he didn't give room. Subsequently, you look at his culture. He had a culture of prayer. He prayed three times. It's not about the three times. That means he was closely knitted in the womb of God. He was aware of the presence of God. He knows the way of God. He wanted only the ways of God. He was, though he had the appointment, that didn't shake him. Another thing is his posture. He was on his knees. I humbly submit to you. If you look at the king, you don't see people walk to the king in front. They always bow to the king. So he had a posture of kneeling down. So if you look at it, though he entered the lion's den, he was filled with the holy presence of God. It is just a lion. When you know God, it is just a lion. So that's why he was so comfortable. I won't say he's comfortable, but nevertheless, he was able to take on the assignment to enter the lion's den. The reality is, we're living in a time where culture in organization may try to influence our mind. And that may push you into the lion's den. But if you have built or planning to build after this sermon to go on your knees, pray three times in this case, a culture of prayer, open the window and let the people know the Lord will send his angel to protect you. I believe this is I believe God is saying, if there's a problem in the office, try to determine with your own mind and thoughts, but wait on God, because he's going to cut that. He's going to cut that string that you think you need. He's going to cut it and he's going to deal with that. So you don't have to worry. Just pray. So that's why when you look at Daniel, can we look at Daniel, the verse in Daniel 6? So what happened is the King Darius wrote, to all people, nations, language that dwell in all earth, peace be multiplied to you. I have made a decree that in every dominion of kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Tremble and fear. Tremble and fear. Why? Daniel did not tremble and fear of the lion. Because he knew the lion of Judah. So that's why the king recognized it. And sometime if you're in a difficult spot, God is going to make you shine. Because why? He's trying to save not just you or increase your faith, but the people around you. Yeah? So, ways to protect from the adversary, we talked about prayer, fasting, and word, and I used Daniel. Looking at the next part, we talk about beware of anxiety and worry. Be anxious. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication or petition, some says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. What a freedom. I'm just thinking, what a freedom. When I was a Hindu, we used to go to God always worried. Go worried, pray, come back worried and pray. And, you know, so made no difference. But I'm good. I kept going to the temple because I wanted to have that relationship with God. And whenever I had my menses, I cannot go to go to the temple. That made me really upset. So another good part of being a Christian is I'm free to come to church any time of the day and wait on God. You don't have to go to the temple. But I like the word, be anxious for nothing. What a wonderful word. Not just the anxiety, for nothing. There's nothing that we need to worry. So when he says that, I think about my colleague that she just shared with me 2 days ago. We are in the midst, it's an exam week in the university, in the midst of exams. So we've been assessing students. So she was just sharing about her mom. She said her mom, when she lost her dad very early years, so my friend was only 6, her mom couldn't get away from that anxiety. So today the mom is 73 years old. She's not able to look after herself. The enemy has taken her, robbed her of her being. She sits there. She probably showers once in every 2 weeks. She stays with her mom and her 2 children stays. She's a single mom. So what happened is, she doesn't want, in front of the clinical psychiatrist or any help, she's always excellent with her response, but other time at home her behavior is not. So she will be wearing her PJs all the time. Then she wants her daughter to give her a hug. The doctor said, you haven't even showered for 2 weeks. So she can't look after her children, though she's a grandma. So the children say, what did grandma do? Nothing, just stare. So guess why we, the children of God, have this word, be anxious for nothing. We have that. We have that in our womb. Be anxious for nothing. So when I think of it, I'm just thinking, if only her mom knew the Lord. If only the mom. When my mother lost my dad at the age of 59, that was a shock to us. At 61, he had a cardiac arrest. And before that, she said the sinner's prayer at a Christmas gathering we had in Singapore. So the interesting part is, 1 week before my father passed away, he told my mom, I know you like to go to church. Go to church. And that meant a lot to her, because she wanted to honor my dad, who's a Hindu, coming from a Hindu background, that not to go to church and then upset him. But 1 week before he had a cardiac arrest, he said that. Then I will say, it is God. And when he had a heart attack, he died on the road, when they opened his bag, they found a Christian book written by my brother-in-law. How good God is. So the power and the authority as the children of God is in our hand. It is just a roaring lion. He is just walking and prowling. But if we know our authority, we are on having the breastplate of God. So having said that, for prayer, be anxious for nothing, but everything put into prayer. At a personal level, I will talk my own Timothy. Most of you know Timothy, my oldest son. He's in New York. Think of COVID. They had 34,000 deaths in New York. Did me and my husband and Luke, even Tim, worry? No. Be anxious for nothing. The son that I delivered is blessed in my womb. I have prayed from the womb. My mother-in-law, so as a prayer person, prayed in the womb. Every night when they were young, I will pray and lay hands on them when they're sleeping. They don't know, but they're sleeping. I'll lay hands and pray. And, you know, through it all, today, my son is 30 years old in New York. Think of COVID. People are still trying to gravitate what COVID is about, COVID-19. Death on the left, death on the right. He says that, mom, areas where they used to have activity or an event became an hospital for people because they had not enough beds. But why? Be anxious for nothing, but everything put in prayer. And I did not pray like a prey. I prayed with the authority as a daughter of the King. So I say, I'm the daughter of the King. This is the word of God. You look after my family. You look after my son. Okay? So the other part is, I want to talk about is, how do we protect ourselves from the adversary? Discernment. Okay? So let's look at two key people. If you look at Corrie Ten Boom, she says discernment is God's call to intercession, never to fault finding. Okay? If you know who Corrie Ten Boom is, she was actually a Christian watchmaker who helped many Jewish people escape from the Nazis during the Holocaust. She was arrested. She and the family were arrested and sent to a concentration camp where she shared the gospel. So someone who worked closely with God, the whole family. She saved the people, but she ended up in the concentration camp. That did not stop her. The lion tried to walk around her and her family, but she continued to share the gospel. And when she did that, that's why she said discernment in God's call is a God's call to intercession. So whenever you see something you're not too sure, you need to go into your chamber, which is the chamber of intercession. Never to find fault and try to evaluate, but rather intercession. The other one I love closely, which I read daily for my devotion, is Oswald Chambers. Discernment is the power to interpret what we see and hear. What we see and hear, it is the spiritual eyes that we see. And what we hear is from God, what we are hearing from God. One of the key person in the Bible we talk about is Solomon. Solomon was put in a position as a teenager, pretty young, okay? And he knew the responsibility, okay? He was young, he knew the responsibility to rule. But I love his heart. His heart was one thing. He wanted to rule the people rightly. Rightly, not based on his own judgment, the ways of God. And because he wanted to do that, he asked for the Lord to give him a discerning, okay? And he said, give your servant therefore an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this, your great people? And God said to him, this is all in a dream. It's all in a dream. Wow, wonderful. That means he's been sleeping with this thought. He's been praying with this thought. He's been savoring with this thought. How, Lord, am I to rule your people? And that is a wonderful, perfect way of the will of the Father. Jesus was always taking the instruction from his Father. I'll do what my Father says. I'll do what my Father's way. So that's the reason why I believe that Solomon saw the ways of David. And because he saw the ways of David, this was his heartbeat. So God said, I'll give you, he didn't say, I'll give you great intelligence, but rather he said, I'll give you discernment. Because discernment is a key tool that is not being exercised. We are more into resolute confliction. Wherever there's a confliction, we come up with all the strategies how to deal with the confliction. But if only we discern, we could have avoided the confliction. Don't you think so? Yeah? Because when I look at the work, when I look at that, I think, my goodness, this thing could be avoided. Why do the people they allow it? Because they have not discerned. We, the children of God, have to use our discerning ears. And so that we have a discerning mind. One of the things I think about is I remember our first trip to Indonesia, we stayed in Sumatra. And when we were there, the beauty about Sumatra was we didn't have a church. So we had a group of Americans, geologists and all, because of Caltech. So a group of people coming together with different kind of backgrounds. Some were Baptists, some were Pentecostals, and different. And some didn't believe in music, some didn't believe in instrument. But we all came together. So we learned to worship with a team of people with a different framework of understanding of worship. So in there, I knew because God sent us there, so I could discern, even though I was used to listening to heal songs, and now we don't have heal songs. We don't have a pastor. We don't have altar call. So we have missionaries that come to share. There were 5 key missionaries that I came in contact when we were in Sumatra. The reason I was comfortable to be there is because it was prophesied over me that I will go to Indonesia. So once I finished my studies, when Andrew said, you're going to go to Indonesia, I was happy to go. I was ready to go, not happy to go. I was ready to go because I discern in my spirit it is the will of the Father. So because of that, when I took on the assignment, one of it was I came in contact with this group of missionaries, and they, on the front, they were running an English school. Okay, so one day when I'm on my own just praying, okay, one thing, the beauty was that place, because we had, there was no entertainment, there's always one type of sugar, one type of salt, one each. So when I come to Perth, I couldn't understand, I'm looking 3 kinds of sugar, for the dogs, there's one whole aisle of food. You know, when you come from a place where you only got one. So second year when we stayed, we had McDonald's. So that felt like, hoo-hoo, you know, I can live, you know, because that's where we lived. But the importance and the beauty of that place, it gave me a lot of time to pray. Gave me a lot of time to pray, to wait on God. And when I was praying one of the days, I saw a cupboard. And in that cupboard, I saw this missionary. Okay, and let's say David, in this scenario, I saw this name David, and I saw him walk to that cupboard. It was a small cupboard at the corner. And then, I had never been to his office, so I had no idea, you know, what is this cupboard about. So in the morning, All I said was, I called his home. And I said to him, I spoke to his wife. They had five children. And they were doing homeschooling. And when I said to him, hey, strangely, yesterday when I was praying, I saw this covered by the corn in the office. And I believe it's an office space because I see David going there, your husband. And I sense that he need to open that cupboard. So when I discerned, I mean, that's what the Lord told me. I had no idea what it was. So she told her husband, and when they opened the cupboard door, all the money that they had, the little money they had, the office money was taken. So that really broke his heart. Really broke his heart because that was needed to buy the tools for Bible for the people. These were American missionaries who learned the language of the Indonesian language. They spoke the language. They ate their food for breakfast. They ate rice for breakfast, salted fish for breakfast, so that they can assimilate with the others. They can build confidence in them. So what happened was he was so disappointed, he decided to leave. Because they found out the one who took was his own church worker who took it. So it's like someone from your family stealing from you. So we talk about why the devil will sometimes try to confuse you. That's why the discernment is very important. But the important thing is the wife was a true prayer warrior. She's the one who spoke to him. Look at it, David. We are called by God. Our assignment comes from God. If you remember when I started, I talked about chapter 4, where Apostle Peter tells the people that persecution. He talks about the suffering. So based on that, so she said, we are here called by God. So she managed to talk to him. They prayed together and they continued to stay on. And because they stayed on, they became the catalyst to share the gospel. There were many of the people that came for English language behind, they came to know the Lord. How wonderful. But having said that, God is so good, He will raise up men and women to warn you. Because He didn't know what to look for. But God, you know, had a plan. Another one I'm talking about is important to know your season. Okay? So let's go back to the way to protect from the adversary. To know your season. Because the Bible talks about season. If I am, now is spring, I'm dressing right. If you see me wearing high boots, gloves, you know, all covered thick, then you think, what is wrong with Shanti? It is not winter. Why is she okay? You know, is her mental state all right? But the sad part is, sometimes Christians don't know their seasons. What is God speaking to you in this season? Because the Bible says there's a time for everything. To everything there's a season, a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck which is planted. So God may push you, not push you, sometimes He will have to push you. I remember my season early days when I was teaching in the nursing school, I knew my season was over. But because they were so short of staff, they asked me to stay back a bit longer. I honored that. And though I honored that, something that was not right was the blame went on me. It wasn't my fault. So I told my boss, I want to leave. This was my reason. And then I stayed back because there was a need. But today, I'm put in the spot and blamed for something that I did not do. Who did it was the assistant boss that did it. So nevertheless, she recognized that she knew who I was because she was my teacher when I was a student at the age of 19 in nursing school. So what I'm saying is the season was over, but I was being kind to stay back. In the end, it backfired on me. But nevertheless, my name was cleared. I carried on. So the question I'm asking you today, do you know your season? Because one thing the lion does is, it is walking around and making you, if you're comfortable in that season, the lion say, okay, stay there. But God is always putting you on a new assignment because He is promoting you. He's refining you. He's getting you to know the nature of his face. You want his face to shine on you. That's why he said, the devil, get behind me. Devil has got no passport. Devil has got no face. He is the father of lies. So that's the reason why we need to know our season. And when we know our season, no matter what we go through, we'll be alright. So when we were in Jakarta, I left slightly earlier before Andrew. Because I knew my season is coming to an end. Spiritually, I know my season is coming to an end. That's the reason why I was quite happy to come here. That time Timmy was here, then Luke joined us later because he had to do his national service. But I knew I was in the right spot. And because I stepped in earlier, I had that flexibility. I had that flexibility to attend various churches, to go for conferences. And funny, people would bring me to places I never thought that will add value today to my Christian life. And I'm glad I honored the Lord and not honored the comfort. I honored the Lord. I've realized God is more interested in me, in building me, than my comfort. And today, if you're not recognizing your season, it's because you have become comfortable with your season. So take back and wait on God, and He will guide you. But another thing I must say is, don't run ahead of the season. When you run ahead of the season, that means it's winter, I'm already wearing spring clothes, I'm going to turn purple. I'm going to feel cold. That's going to be hypothermia. Okay? So, brains freeze. The same way I'm saying is, don't. So let God be God. But be sensitive, be discerning, be in prayer, be in fasting, so that you may know your season. Alright? And then to end is, I will say is, resist him and steadfast in faith. So today what I've done is I have introduced you to the reality. I've introduced that it's a lion roaring or prowling or walking around on the backdrop. But we have the Lion of Judah, the bloodshed at Calvary at a very heavy cost, all right, at a very heavy cost, has saved us. And the beauty is he's not left us alone. He has left us with the Holy Spirit. And if you look at the giants in the Bible, Daniel, Esther, David, they all had one culture, prayer and waiting on God. Operating in God's timing, God's season. And they knew the authority they had in God. Likewise, if we would just honor what God is speaking to us, it will just be a lion sitting there. It will not prowl. Okay? Maybe like today, I haven't had my breakfast after this. I'm going home. I'm thinking I've taken out my salmon. I make a nice salmon breakfast with mushrooms. Yeah, that's my plan, and have my breakfast. So that is how I'm saying, spiritually, that's how I do. I'm going to eat my breakfast with salmon. Let the lion prowl. Because why? I'm feasting, not physically, but under the presence of God. All right? Good? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your voice. Thank you for the authority. Thank you for what you are doing, Lord Father. We thank you that the roaring lion has to bow down in your presence, Father. And thank you. We are your children, the chosen one, called for a purpose with a commission from a higher calling, Lord. And we pray for the kingdom mindset that the body of Christ will hear from the Spirit. Thank you for your visitation for your people. We speak a blessing over each one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. What a good word from Shanti this morning. Let's give her another hand, everybody. And let's stand up. And we're just going to end off with a final song this morning that we're going to see a victory. Amen. And then, yeah, if you would like prayer, I'm sure Shanti and the team will be willing to pray for you.